But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of FPL 360 where VAR will not be deciding the outcome of this podcast.
Words cannot describe how happy I was with the result. I really thought United was out of it. I didn't think we had any chance. I don't think anyone thought we had a chance.
No, but PSG, as they have often done, have found a way to fall flat on their faces in Champions League yet again.
Yeah, I think at this point they're just cursed. I think they're so in their own heads about it. I mean, there's no reason why they should not have gone through.
I mean, all they had to do is do what Spurs did and basically do absolutely nothing in the second leg.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they didn't have their chances either. Bit a couple in the first half that shouldn't have been put away. I think it was Benat had a chance from inside the box that he hit right at De Gea. And Di Maria had a really nice strike that went just wide of goal. But overall, I thought it was a fitting end with Rashford just absolutely smashing home the penalty.
Did you notice that he took a Paul Pogba run-up?
Yeah, after Pogba's antics at the weekend getting me -2 as my captain, it's funny, when the penalty was awarded, I was kind of happy that Pogba was suspended because I did not want to have to sit there with the missed penalty stewing in my head. But I was happy with how Rashford took it.
I just think it's funny that that has been such a problematic run-up for United, and it now seems that it has permeated past just Paul Pogba.
Well, one of the things I've always liked about Rashford, especially from his free kicks, and that penalty was a good example, is he's such a pure striker of the ball that no matter what kind of run-up he takes, I'm always very confident when he steps up. I mean, not to say that Pogba doesn't strike the ball well, but yeah, I've always been a little bit turned off by Pogba's desire for flair, where Rashford's just all business.
He's also given reasons this year to not like his penalty taking. And honestly, if he wasn't Paul Pogba, he probably would have been taking off penalties for United by now.
I did like his celebration video with Patrice Evra after the match on social media. Did get a good kick out of that. Before we segue off of United, where do you think they're going to go on a storybook run now? I mean, it's hard for me to not see them making it to the final after overcoming.
I mean, I don't think that they're going to make it to the final. I do think an English team will make it to the final because now the odds are just too good for it not to happen. But I still don't see United as being a major threat in Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because if we look at, and we'll talk about Spurs a little bit more after I just go over who's through, but obviously we have Porto through, Ajax in quite remarkable fashion, United, Spurs, and then with the other legs coming up, it looks like Atletico, Man City, and then the Bayern Liverpool, Barcelona, Lyon. Obviously, those are tied 0-0. But
I
would have to favor
Barcelona. Gets through. I hope they get through.
But look, I mean, if it's, let's say it's City, Atletico, whatever, I hope Liverpool get knocked out. Actually, I want Liverpool to stay in it so they can't win the title. So let's hope for them and then say Lyon.
So
I mean,
you,
if
you want
look
City
at,
to win the title?
I'd rather have City win the title than Liverpool.
Wow. Coming from a United fan, that's saying something.
Well, just because I've grown accustomed in the last couple of years to City winning.
I just want the Premier League to implode at this point.
Yeah, it's anyone's cup if Barcelona does not get through.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, like, City is probably the lesser of two evils for me, since Liverpool also hasn't won the league in forever. But I don't want to see either of them win it.
What was your takeaway from the second leg of Spurs and Dortmund?
It was just taking care of business. There, it's not that Spurs really did anything well in that game. Honestly, they probably should have lost it, but they soaked up pressure and kept a very rare clean sheet, with, of course, Kane finishing his chance. So that was more of a, we're going to play it safe. We already have a 3-0 lead. Let's not pull a PSG and flop this.
Yeah, it probably would have been in PSG's best interest to have watched the Spurs-Dortmund match on Tuesday. But yeah, I mean, how confident are you in Spurs moving forward in the competition?
Out of the teams that are left in the competition, on their day, Spurs can probably beat any of them. I think my most feared team in the competition at this point in time is probably Manchester City. But I just can't say that Spurs are going to go on and make it to the final, because Juventus last year just is so ever present in my memory.
Yeah, also that would not be very Spurs-like.
Chuck takes a sip of whiskey.
I couldn't resist. Before we get down to the Premier League business, what are your, I guess, not too early, kind of slightly early predictions for the other matches that are coming up next week, the second legs?
I am praying to the Lord that Schalke can knock out City, but more likely than not, City takes care of business on Tuesday. Juventus makes things interesting, but Atletico gets a late winner in a 2-1 loss. Bayern squeaks through, and just because I really, really hope this happens, Lyon goes into Camp Nou and snags a goal.
I would love to see that happen. Unfortunately, I mean, that's a really tough ask.
Oh, I know that it is not probable. But also, when you look at Lyon play, they're probably the best team in any league not currently leading their league.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't playing against a club with Lionel Messi, I would say it's possible. But I have a feeling this will be, I have a feeling it's going to be a very good game, but I think he's probably going to produce something insane to be the difference there. I'm going with Barcelona. I think City, as much as I would like to see a Weston McKennie brace to knock out Man City, I don't think Schalke is going to be able to do it. I'm going with Liverpool. I don't know why, but I have a feeling that Salah is going to have a really good game. I feel like his kind of dip in form lately in the Premier League has this lined up for him to do some Salah-like stuff that we saw last season.
He's supposed to do that
And
this weekend against Burnley.
yeah, and I think Juventus and Atletico is going to go to extra time. If I had to pick a team, I was initially leaning towards Atletico. However, I think Juventus are going to pull a surprise. So I'm going with City, Juventus, Liverpool, and Barcelona.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting in that one because Juventus brought Cristiano Ronaldo to win Champions League. So if they don't, everything in this season has been a failure.
Yet also, it's also, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's going to make or break. This match will pretty much make or break that entire transfer. Whether that's fair or not, I'm not sure at this point. But yeah, I mean, when you spend that much kind of money on anybody, even if it's Ronaldo, you do expect to not be going into a second leg against Atletico down 2-0.
And also,
They're getting blanked.
look at what's happened to the team that lost Ronaldo. Win three straight Champions Leagues, get knocked out to Ajax. Not saying, I'm just saying.
Segueing back to the Premier League, how did your squad make out in OFPL last week?
I hit the average, exactly.
I have had, after entering game week 24 with by far my best run in FPL ever, I have dropped from 16K all the way to 49. I have had five red arrows in the last six game weeks. I can't do anything right, and this past week I had 37 points because I benched JWP, and I am pretty irate about the whole thing.
A late captaincy switch from Raul Jimenez to Paul Pogba ended up costing me quite a few points. The only thing that I can say that I'm happy about is at least Wilfried Zaha got a goal.
Yeah, I was just very pissed about the whole Doherty coming on for no reason against Cardiff.
I mean, I'm okay with that because I had straight zeros on my bench.
Well, I was heated because I had brought in Antonio, and obviously he didn't play. And then Klosanok didn't play, so I would have been getting 8 points from JWP off my bench. I would have gotten a green arrow, and I probably would have gained back, since the week average was 40 points, I probably would have gained back at least a third of what I'd lost recently. However, Wolves had to be a thorn in my side.
Sounds about right.
Who do you have your eye on for transfers this week in OFPL?
So I actually really want to make a transfer of Jamie Vardy, but I can't afford it. So I'm rolling my free transfer this week as to be able to afford Jamie Vardy next week.
Yeah, spot where I can't decide if I want to bank my transfer because pretty much everything I've done lately has been crap. So my thought is if I don't make a move this week, maybe the guys on my team will perform. But the two guys I have my eye on, one is obviously who we'll talk a little bit more when we get to the game preview. It's David Brooks with him back. And then I can't decide whether I want to get rid of Paul Pogba because I think United are going to go on a Champions League run, or if I want to ride it out with him and then manipulate through my wild card to upgrade up front. Because right now, the trident of Rashford, Barnes, and Jimenez is not really doing it for me. Just looking at who each of those clubs have coming up.
Yeah, I'm much happier with my Zaha, Jimenez, Lacazette front three.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Zaha and Crystal Palace are going to take on Brighton this weekend in a match that you're calling the Oddball Derby.
Well, no, it's just that is an actual derby match.
Oh, I thought that was the actual Derby nickname.
No.
Oh, I was like, that's a. I've not heard that before.
No, it's just so weird because of the distance between the two teams.
Yeah, that is a good point. I never thought of that. And also to think of it, Oddball Derby is probably a name that should exist for an actual derby.
I'm gonna see if it actually has a name now. The M23 Derby.
Well,
I like my name a lot better.
I know that there's something to do with the Eagles and the Seagulls
And
with names of clubs.
the name comes from the motorway between Sussex and South London.
Brighton is going to be without Pascal Gross, who, even though he hasn't been doing anything lately, I mean, that's still a significant loss.
But Anthony Knockaert is back to doing things.
Yeah, have we figured out if he's good?
So it's weird because he started the season on a tear, and then he disappeared, and Solly Marsh seemed like the guy for Brighton. Now it seems like things may be rotating back again.
Knockaert is, I mean, there's been guys in the past, but Knockaert is probably the biggest player I struggle with trying to figure out if he's actually good or not. Because he's so streaky.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's one of those when he's on form, you should be playing him, especially in draft formats. But you can't really guess when he's gonna be on form because it's not matchup dependent.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with him, but I do have to say the interesting thing about Brighton is Florian Andone, because I did not realize that he was only 25 years old. For some reason, I thought he was older. So, I mean, he looks like the guy moving forward to kind of replace Glenn Murray, who's getting up there.
And he was my third striker for a while, but unfortunately, that was during a time when Glenn Murray was completely healthy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that comment has not so much to do with fantasy unless you play in like a keeper league format, in a deeper keeper league. But he did get the goal last week against Huddersfield Town. Do you think Brighton, they're coming off a win. Do you think they have a chance at Palace?
I think they're going to get smoked.
Really? I mean, look,
look at the Palace attack right now. They are clicking.
Yeah, I mean, their last, yeah, they 3-1 Burnley, 4-1 Leicester. Yeah, this could be a butt kicking.
And it'll be led by Zaha. I think Michy has scored in two straight now, and Jeffrey Sloop.
It's funny about Palace's front line, considering not too long ago there is a chance that both of the Zaha and Batshuayi could have been lining up for Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, it's really interesting how Palace has constructed that team, but now since they're losing their defensive fortitude with no Sakho, they've shown the ability to score goals again.
Batshuayi is an interesting character because I had not, for whatever reason, given him any thought in OFPL, just because obviously you have Zaha there, and if I want someone from Palace, it's usually Zaha, just because they're so dependent on him. With Batshuayi in his run of form, he's got 2 goals in his 3 starts. He's at 6.5.
See, that's the problem. He's at 6.5. I would rather pay the extra, like, 0.3 for the luxury of Zaha.
Yeah, it's... I mean, Batshuayi is only selected by 1.5% of teams right now.
But Zaha's so that's still enough of a differential that if he's scoring, you're gonna gain some ground. Like, he's selected by 13.7. And I bet you most of those 13.7 are dead teams that selected him at the beginning of the season when he was a cheap forward.
Yeah, that is a good point. We probably have to get the stats of the live teams to make a better assumption on that. So it seems like you're thinking this is a comfortable one for Palace.
I do think it's a comfortable win for Palace, which means it's probably going to be a draw, but...
next match to talk about is Cardiff hosting West Ham. The big news here, Sol Bamba, my bad, joint top scorer for Cardiff. Center back Sol Bamba is out for the season due to a ruptured ACL. He has 4 goals. He's joint top with Bobby Reed and Callum Patterson on that mark. So for those who may only know Bamba through fantasy, how big of a loss is he for Cardiff?
A big enough loss that any hopes that they had of staying up prior to this injury are now gone.
Yeah, he's pretty much the guy that makes that team run. And as you pointed out before we started recording, and from looking back, he's also been pretty much scored all their clutch goals.
Yeah, I'd say realistically, outside of Neil Etheridge, he's their most important player.
So with them hosting West Ham,
West Ham are going to run riot.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the reasons, obviously, I did not have the Bamba knowledge, because that was not until this past week. But I'm very happy I had done my preemptive move for Mikel Antonio. I like him this week a lot in FPL, even though he's at 6.8. The other guy who I noticed was tipped by the scout is Robert Snodgrass. Would you consider bringing in Snodgrass if you were looking for a budget midfielder because he's at 5 million.
I'd rather, if I could afford him, have Antonio over Snodgrass because Antonio's position is more confirmed. But realistically, if I'm taking a flyer on West Ham, I'm taking the full flyer and I'm bringing in Lanzini.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I am so happy in my keeper league that I held on to Lanzini. Not that I was really thinking about too seriously about letting him go. But with him back, he's only at 6.4 right now in FPL. So that's definitely an affordable price in flyer range. The thing that's had kind of turned me off from Snodgrass is he's not really a guaranteed a spot right now with Antonio, Lanzini fit, and Anderson all ahead of him, at least
Also,
in
don't
my
forget
opinion.
Nazari is still there as well.
Net team sheet and Nazri. The other guy we should probably talk about, because I have not gotten your opinion, Declan Rice has shot up the transfer in board in OFPL. He is.
I don't picture Declan Rice as a goal scorer. I get that he has like 3 goals on the season now and he's priced at 5.0, 4
Four
point.
point six.
Oh wow, he dropped it.
And he's a defender.
Oh, he's a defender in OFPL? Well, that changes things. I mean, for that as a defender, I really don't have any gripes about it. I still believe that there are better defenders that you could be transferring in right now. But any out of position player is a solid asset in FPL.
So, looking at it, I mean, I price wise, out of position, playing out of position, it does make sense. So, since game week 22, the thing is, he's had a goal. His two goals have come in matches where West Ham have gotten clean sheets. So he has those 2 15-point hauls, and then in between that, he has a pair of ones and 4 twos. So he is maximized the two matches where he scored goals. I mean, if you're trying to free up funds, it makes sense. I just think it's kind of weird that he is the second most transferred player in at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's definitely odd. I mean, I'd still rather run with my Kolasinac, Doherty, Digne back line right now than bring him in. But I can also see why people are adding him.
Yeah, and he's only selected by 4% of teams, so it does make sense.
And he
I mean,
plays in
if you're.
game week 31.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is traction there.
The problem is just West Ham's not going to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, I'm not too. Well, with Cardiff's
They're
joint top scorer
still
out.
not going to keep a clean sheet against Cardiff.
Yeah, I could see this being an in-hand 3-0 match and then them conceding in like the 80th minute.
Yeah, that would not surprise me at all.
Moving right along, Huddersfield Town hosting Bournemouth. As you mentioned before, Brooks is back. Wilson will be back soon. I'm looking at the Cherries as a team to invest in, more so for OFPL, because the majority of their good assets are probably owned in draft leagues. The Cherries have Huddersfield away this weekend, Newcastle at home, Leicester away, Burnley home, Brighton away. How many Cherries should you be looking to get in OFPL right now? Like, would it be insane to double up or consider a triple up?
Hey, we've spent most of the season on double or triple cherries. I don't see a reason why, with Brooks back, you wouldn't be at least thinking about a double with him and Frazier.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, which two would you be most interested in? For me it's Brooks, and I don't know. Usually this would be a clear cut Brooks and Wilson, but
I need to
King
see
is actually.
I need to see Wilson. And also the problem, I love Josh King, but he's still so reliant on Bournemouth getting penalties.
Yeah, and I mean, like you can't. Frazier is in a weird spot because, like, it's kind of tempting to say, look, he's hasn't been he's you know he's, there's been a big letdown since his beginning, excellent first half, but that is also due in part to Wilson being out, Brooks being out, and looking at the brutal run that they just went through. I mean, in their last, what is it, six matches, they played City, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Chelsea.
That's quite the run.
So yeah, I would say Brooks is number one, and then depending upon what your squad looks like at the moment, I think Frazier and Wilson are probably, 2A and 2B. With obviously with that just depending upon where you need to move and if you're willing to roll the dice on Wilson coming back and assuming he'll be back on form. But either way, I think King is probably a good choice this week with Huddersfield being extremely banged up.
Oh yeah, it's easier to say who's available for Huddersfield than it is to say who's not available.
So Jonathan Hogg, he's definitely out. De Poitre is out. Tommy Smith is suspended. Diakabi is out. Mbenz is out. And I am trying to figure out who's even going to start for them.
A bunch of people.
Yeah, so I mean, we're guessing probably Kingolo, Schindler. Is Zanka out also? Well, Zanka hasn't been playing as much lately.
Yeah, he hasn't featured. He might have to, but
Yeah, I mean, would you even consider captaining one of the cherries with how banged up Huddersfield is?
probably not, just because there's such an up and down team that anything could happen this week.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this potential 11 for Huddersfield Town, this just looks like it could be a 3-0 or a 4-0 for Bournemouth, even though they're away.
Yeah, but also look at how Huddersfield Town defended against Brighton, and like while Bournemouth has more attacking options than Brighton, the Huddersfield defense and a back three isn't too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, this match should probably be a comfortable win for Eddie Howe's side. It'll probably end up being like a hard-fought 1-0 with a Josh King penalty. Unless Wilson starts. If Wilson starts, I do have more confidence in them. Obviously, the Terriers are going to bunker down. But the one thing I did want to mention before we move on, if you're looking for like a differential in defense, would you recommend looking at any of Bournemouth's guys just because they're so cheap, even though clean sheets have been pretty not there for them?
Only Nathan Aki is an option because he is a goal scoring threat and has been playing in midfield recently.
What about Boric with Asmir Begovic looking like he's pretty much out in the cold?
I don't want a Bournemouth defender for defensive purposes is the problem.
Yeah, that's fair. I do think he is an interesting thought and goal just because he's at 4 million right now.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably make his way onto my wildcard team, but not for me to play him, more so that I have a playing keeper for when I do my bench boost.
A player who I think is definitely going to be in my wildcard squad is Jamie Vardy, and I really like him this week against Fulham because they're awful at defending. Where would you put Vardy in your hypothetical captain pyramid for this game week?
I'd say he's in my top four.
Leicester hosting Fulham. And the other thing I like here, looking down the line, the Foxes have Fulham this week at home, Burnley away, Bournemouth home, Huddersfield away, Newcastle home. So they do have five very good matches coming up. As we clearly talking about, we both like Vardy. Is there anyone else of interest for you from the Foxes for that stretch?
This is probably a point where Harvey Barnes even becomes a decent shout for an FPL side.
That kick and ball.
Him, and then next, the problem is he's not always starting, but Demarai Gray has been looking good recently.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like him and Barnes are kind of just locked in, trading off time on the left side. Although with Albrighton out, I could see them getting a little bit more time. The guy that
Tillemans to find them in space.
Yeah, I mean, I brought in Ricardo Pereira a couple weeks ago for this run. I mean, based on fixture difficulty and the eye test, you would think there would be a clean sheet or two and some offensive returns for him. He's at 5.4. I mean, would you be more interested in Chilwell just because he's cheaper? Or do you think that paying, you know, the extra 0.4 to get Pereira would be a smart choice?
Now that Pereira's not really playing on the wing anymore and he's actually playing as a defender, I think that he and Chilwell are probably about even.
Yeah, and then it's funny. I feel like everyone's kind of forgotten about James Maddison.
I mean, he's gone silent, but he won't be for long.
Yeah, how many goals do you think Leicester's going to score against Fulham?
Four.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how... Like, I know Vardy was forced off in the second half last weekend.
And yeah, he's not... It was just a face injury. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's going to start. But from what I was looking at, I did see a potential 4-3-3 formation for them, which would probably be Vardy, you know, maybe Maddison and Barnes on the wing or Maddison and Gray. But I don't really see a way for Fulham in this match. And, you know, even though I've expressed my lack of excitement over the Brendan Rodgers appointment, at this point, with those matches, I think it's hard to ignore Vardy.
It definitely is. I still think that Fulham probably scores a goal in this game because Ryan Babel is unstoppable.
Yeah, Babel is it's pretty funny because I don't know what the pulse is from the majority of people when that transfer happened, but I thought it was a joke. Like, I literally thought it was just like fake, like a fake Twitter news to get a rise out of people. I didn't realize he was actually going to come to Fulham and contribute.
Yeah, and he has contributed in a big way, but the team still can't defend to save their lives and are now on their third manager of the season.
Yeah, the Scott Parker news, which somehow flew under the radar when we did our last episode. Yeah, looking at the table right now, they are on 17 points. Them and Huddersfield are pretty much toast, which isn't too much of a surprise. Next match, Newcastle Everton. We talked about it. I feel like this is probably the third week going where we've been mentioning it's time to get Newcastle players. So this will just be our weekly who do we like from Newcastle?
Well, this one's going to be intriguing because I don't know how much this Longstaff injury is going to affect Newcastle because he's essentially out for the year, can potentially feature in like late April, early May. And while he hasn't had very many goals and assists, the offense has been mostly running through him. So does it the interesting question is going to be, does everything now run through Almiron?
I mean, as someone who's a fan of Almiron, I would like to see that. I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be between Mo Diame or Jonjo Shelvey coming into the starting 11 in place of Longstaff. If it's Jonjo Shelvey, you can expect a lot of like really overhit 40-yard diagonal balls, which might actually work with Almiron playing out wide.
Yeah,
I don't.
I don't really want to see Jonjo Shelvey in another Newcastle 11.
Yeah, he looks like he should be the captain of Chernobyl FC. But that aside, I do think it's interesting because Longstaff kind of came in and he's really been the pivot man in midfield. Everton are coming to St. James's Park. They've been, I guess, quintessential Everton lately with 3-0 win over Cardiff and obviously the draw in the Merseyside derby. Which way are you leaning this match? Because I want to say this would be a Newcastle victory, but after Everton kind of falling off the wagon a bit, they've responded well in their last two matches.
I'm leaning a draw in this one.
You think there would be goals or
Probably.
clean sheet?
I think it's more likely if there's a clean sheet, then it's more likely that Newcastle probably wins this one. But I'm thinking like a 2-2 draw.
Guess we'll go to Southampton Spurs. My mentioning of not backing JWP, although I do every week, backfired on me. I benched him and he scored a beauty against United. Do you think that ship has sailed in OFPL? I mean, I'm probably going to hold on to him
No, because
for the rest of the season because he's at 5 million and he's been awesome lately.
no, I wouldn't say so, and especially since like Spurs still don't scream anything that makes you sit your attackers.
Have you got back on Kane yet?
I can't afford him yet, unfortunately. Even though I really want him in my team, I would need to take a minus four if I'm going to make it happen.
Is he, I guess, the guy you want to captain this week?
Yeah, he is definitely up there in my captaincy rankings as well.
Yeah, I also don't have him. I have Son at the moment. But, you know, you can never go wrong with Kane.
I actually no longer have Son, but we'll talk about who I have instead of him shortly.
What club does he play for?
The next one we're going to talk about.
Manchester City hosting Watford. As I predicted, based upon the way the universe works pertaining to Watford, they came back down to earth after their big win, and then they got a result against Leicester. So I guess based upon how things work, they should lose like 5-0 to Manchester City this week.
I damn sure hope so.
Who did you bring in for Son?
I brought in Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, so City are coming off of a match where I expected them to score a bunch of goals, and they barely eked it out against the Cherries.
Yeah, City was tired.
Yeah, I mean, as you can expect with their fixture congestion, I'm the one thing that's, you know, interesting is what kind of a lineup you think they're going to field with one eye on the Champions League.
With Fernandinho suspended for Champions League, I assume it'll be closer to a first choice 11 than we think. The big question is going to be, is Gabriel Jesus fit to start this game? Because you've got to rest Sergio Aguero. Like, you have to.
Yeah, I don't see why you would play Aguero here. I mean, even if Jesus isn't fit, I mean, if that requires playing, you know, maybe Sterling in the middle or tinkering with the 11 a bit. That result against Schalke is by no means in the bag, so I don't know why Pep would even think about risking Aguero. You know, I guess with that in hand, if you had to have someone this week from City, seems like you're obviously backing Sterling. Would you be interested in, like, Sané? Or do you think Sterling's still the guy to have?
It's just that Sané has burnt me this season, and I couldn't end up transferring him in and then have him not start.
Yeah, I had been thinking about moving to Sterling. That would require me selling most likely Mohamed Salah, and I decided I'm not going to do that, and I'm probably going to captain Salah this week with Liverpool hosting Burnley. I've been looking around a bit, and it seems like from the podcasts I've listened to and stuff I've read, you know, at this point, like, I feel like you can't get rid of Salah because, you know, even though he's so expensive and he hasn't really, I guess, lived up to his bang per buck in OFPL, looking at the run of matches they have coming up and kind of how his form has been up and down this season, I think it's, like, impossible to get rid of him at this point.
Yeah, I'm not getting rid of him, because I can't really justify it. The first time that I'll really take in consideration about transferring him out is on my wild card.
I have decided I'm definitely going to captain him this week. And, I mean, after the Pogba minus points, I feel like I have to go back to old reliable.
I'm going to captain Sterling this week.
With Liverpool having a good run of matches coming up, and obviously with them not blanking, what kind of a stack would you be looking at for the Reds? I mean, personally, I own Salah, I own Robertson. Do you think those are the two to roll with, or would it make sense to bring in a third? And if so, who would that be?
The funny thing is the biggest point stack recently would be going triple Liverpool defense.
Yeah, I mean, clean sheets have been pretty automatic with them this season. But regardless of who it is, I've always been skeptical about a a triple stack in defense.
Same. I'm probably going to bring Trent Alexander-Arnold back in as soon as I have a chance. And then I'd probably I it's tough to justify Allison even with how good he's been, just because I don't like making goalkeeper transfers. So it would probably be going double Liverpool defense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely thinking about getting a third red in. I do want to wait until we see what happens with them in Bayern because, Alexander Arnold has been, back at his best since he came back. But just because he struggled with injuries this season, if they do advance, I could see Klopp being a little bit cautious with him. So before I think about getting him in, I do want to see what happens in the Champions League. But I do think a Liverpool triple up is definitely a good idea. Chelsea hosting Wolves. This match, I don't know if you have much on it. The only thing I was going to say was I'm pretty heated about, still pretty heated about the Doherty coming on for 40 minutes and me not getting JWP as the automatic substitute into my OFPL side last week.
Well, that means now he's going to play the whole game and you're going to get a two-pointer.
Yeah, I actually brought in Jorginho in FPL draft because I lost Longstaff and my midfield consists of two injured Manchester United players. I'm not happy about it.
I don't blame you.
Looks like for Chelsea, it's going to be Pedro, Higuain, and Hazard up front. Pedro has been, after we had kind of mentioned he shouldn't be playing anymore for them, he came back. He had a goal in the win over Spurs. He's looked a little bit better lately. Is there anybody in Chelsea who kind of catches your attention in FPL since it seems like we've stopped talking about him ever since we had our little rant about them during our transfer window episodes?
If Chelsea keeps keeping clean sheets, then it would be Azpilicueta. Has Emerson won the spot?
I don't know. It's a really weird situation because it kind of came out of nowhere, but I mean, I could see him getting another start this week. I mean, from the potential 11s I've looked at, I've seen Emerson in more places than Alonso.
And the way that Sarri has talked about Emerson, it definitely seems like he prefers his mentality to Alonso's.
I mean, Emerson is. Do I think Emerson, that job should be his right now over Alonso? No, but I do think, he is talented, and I could see him, obviously long term, being in that spot. I just don't know why Alonso's out in the cold so much.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Speaking of guessing, Arsenal hosting Manchester United. And the United starting 11 is probably going to look interesting, to say the least.
I mean, I'd say the starting lines for both sides. A bunch of players are going to play. We don't particularly know who. And then Lacazette and Lukaku will score goals.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I mean, we have for United, you have Valencia still out, Lingard, Herrera, Mata, Matic, now Sanchez. Martial is doubtful. Phil Jones is doubtful. Yeah, I'm going to say Lukaku and Rashford in midfield. We'll have Pogba, probably Fred and McTominay, and then and I guess Andres Perea. I mean, he did score a cracker of the goal the other weekend. In defense, Smalling, Lindelof, and then Shaw, and then either Diego or Ashley Young. Then again, I could be totally wrong. Either way, I am excited for this match because I do think there will be goals.
Honestly, I hope not because I have De Gea in net and I have Kolasinac in defense.
Yeah, this week I am thinking about not starting Kolasinac and playing Neil Etheridge. I don't know.
Oh, why?
De Gea away at Arsenal or Etheridge at home against West Ham. It's.
I think it's De Gea.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, the last time that I played De Gea over Etheridge, Etheridge got a clean sheet against Bournemouth, and De Gea did not get a clean sheet.
But that
So,
Cardiff team also had Soldado in it.
that is a very good point. I'm going to say Manchester United will win 2-1. As much as I need a clean sheet, I do think Arsenal are going to get a goal here.
I'm actually gonna go Arsenal 2-1 because of the fact that Arsenal are almost unbeatable at home.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that won't happen, but they have been very good at home. That's going to do it for this week's episode of FPL 360. Remember to follow us on Twitter at, as you expected, FPL underscore 360. We're also now available on pretty much every podcast outlet.
That is correct.
Any final parting words?
Honestly, I can't think of anything witty right now, so I'm going to pass.
Yeah, Manchester United's going to win the Champions League.
Yeah, okay.
You heard it here first.